I glad he rescued me, because I think I'd still be in New Jersey. All right. Praise God. We started last week a new series called Escape, and it's all about how God wants to help you escape temptation. Right? So just a quick review if you weren't here. We said last week that everybody deals with temptation. You think you hit 90 and you don't have any temptations? Wrong. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, you're going to run into some temptations in life. Doesn't matter how educated you are, you're still going to run into some temptations in life. Okay? Everybody gets tempted. I wish I could tell you it's not true, but it is true. All right, so we talked about four different aspects of temptation, and I'm just going to go over one, the one that we started with last week. We said, it is not a sin to be tempted. Cool, praise God. Okay, it's not a sin to be tempted, but, if I say but it's what you do with it. It's what you do with it, okay? So we talked about that. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you're going to run into temptations, all right? So we're going to talk about some more about temptations. If you weren't able to be with us, there's free CDs. You can go online and listen to it. Praise God. Last week, I gave you right in the beginning, I said, everybody write this question down. Write this question down, and you're all good students. You wrote your question down, and I said, go home and think on this. So the question was, how do you feel after you go into a temptation? How do you feel after you basically blow it, right? How do you feel? Guilt slaps on you, right? You feel bad. Basically, if I just kind of put it all together on pot, everybody'd say, well, yeah, I really don't feel good after I do it. I really don't feel good after I walk through a temptation and hit the door. Okay, so today I have another question for you. You can write this down, but don't answer it. Don't let your neighbor see this, okay, because you'll be embarrassed, all right? What is your greatest temptation? Write that down. Don't write the answer. What is your greatest temptation? All right. Now, for some people, you could say, oh, Pastor D, it's junk food. Every time I drive by, you know, like Wendy's and McDonald's, it's just calling my name and I have to go for a slippy slider, you know, and just eat all that junk food. So if that's what yours is, well, you're doing pretty good. But maybe you're the person, you'd say, Pastor D, my greatest temptation is alcohol. My greatest temptation is pornography. My greatest temptation is nagging my spouse. Okay. All right. So I want you to think about, what is your greatest temptation? All right? Don't write the answer down. All righty? Now, what is your greatest temptation, you know, that you probably hide it? Anybody hide some of their things? All right. So this week, the title of my message is called Fight It. Fight It. Because we're talking about temptations, and we say, everybody runs in temptations. Well, that's nice, Pastor D, but now what do? We're going to learn how to fight it. We're going to learn how to fight it, all right? So if you're writing this down, temptation has to be fought. You have to do something, all right? Now, let me tell you something really cool. Every time you decide to fight it, every time you decide you're going to fight a temptation, you might be fighting for your marriage. Every time you decide to fight it, you might be fighting for your kid. Every time you decide, I am going to fight this temptation, it's because you're going to fight for all the good thing God has for you. So I think it's a good idea to find out how to fight it. All right? Don't you? All right. So, number one, temptation has to be fought. Okay, now, when I say fight it, this happened to me when I was, you know, thinking of my cute little title. When I say fight it, right away, I'm back in Teaneck, New Jersey. I'm on Van Buren Avenue, and this is a street just like this Weldon Avenue with houses both on the both sides. Only thing, they're all individual houses, and I was sitting there laughing. I counted up where I grew up, this one street, Van Buren Avenue, there were 50 kids. It was awesome! It was the greatest playground, okay? So I grew up in this neighborhood with 50 kids. That's because a whole bunch of them were Catholic and we all had 6 and 7 kids, all right? So it was just great. It was wonderful. Now, when I say fight it, right away I'm thinking of this one family. They had 6 kids. The first 5 were boys and the last one was a little girl, all right? So I think of the middle kid. His name was Timmy. Timmy was best friends with my brother Pat. And Timmy was a little scrappy. He was always in a fight. Timmy was fighting with his big brothers. Timmy was fighting with his little brothers. I went to school with Timmy. Timmy was fighting on the schoolyards. Timmy was fighting. So when I think of the title, Fight It, that's where my head goes. Now, I just found out not everybody's head goes where my head goes. Okay? So you might be thinking, Pastor D, I'm kind of a Barney Fife person. I don't know about this fight thing. Well, let me tell you, when temptation comes, you have to fight it. Okay? So you can either be a Timmy or whatever, all right? But, you know, the thing about fighting it, it's not who you are on the outside. It's not who you are, you know, you've got all this strength. And it's not doesn't have anything to do with willpower, though that's a pretty good thing. It doesn't have to do with your physical strength, okay? Fighting temptation has to do with letting God come alongside and help you, all right? So if you're a Barney Fife, you're like, good. Good. I need God to come alongside and help me fight temptation. So if you're this person that's a weightlifter, that, well, I got news. That's not going to help you. If you're a person that's, you know, really, I bet you can't just eat one and you can't, you do it because you've got all this willpower. Well, that's good, but that's not the best. The best is when you allow God to help you. All right. So we're going to talk about fight it and how God helps us. All right. Last week we ended up in James. Would you guys open up to James chapter 1? James chapter 1. They'll put it on the screen. James chapter 1. Praise God. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Does your Bible say that? Yep. Okay. So you know what that tells me? God is never tempted. Yay. All right. And the second part is he doesn't tempt anybody with evil. So he doesn't tempt anyone. He's not going to tempt me. Now, here's the interesting thing. We live in a society that today, and also a lot of the Christian society, where they believe that God comes and tempts you. God does bad stuff to you. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah. I was like, read your Bible. Because it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempting of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So according to that, God doesn't do any of that stuff, right? All right. So the next couple verses, verses 14 and 15, it talks about how temptation comes. How temptation comes. And I'm just going to go real quickly, go through that in my own words and tell you how temptation comes. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Temptation starts with a thought. How does temptation come? And by the way, it comes to everybody. It comes to everybody. So you might be really good if you figured out how it comes. All right, so number one, temptation comes through a thought. It starts in your thought life, okay? It starts up here in your thought life, all right? So, you know, you hear the term premeditated murder. Guess what? It started, right? Yeah. So, number one, how does temptation come? It starts with a thought. Number two, the second thing that happens is imagination. Imagination, okay? And that simply means is you start having images or pictures that go with the thoughts. All right? Deep, dark chocolate cake, ganache filling, and chocolate icing. What picture do you see with that? Okay, yeah, all right. So it's not so hard to get a thought and then get a picture, right? It's not that hard. Praise God. You can get the recipe off of back of Hershey's cocoa. Amazing. All right. So now let's say you're a guy or a girl and you're right on the edge of having an affair. It starts with, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it, okay? And whatever you think about, it's going to happen in your life. Whatever, so it starts with a thought, then you got this picture, you're thinking about it, and it's going to happen in your life. So we're going to talk about how to stop that, how to overcome that. But that was number two, an image. Number three, all right, how temptation works. The number three thing is you start to justify the thought. Write down justify. Listen, you start justifying the thought. Well, nobody knows what I'm thinking about. My wife doesn't know. I'm not hurting anybody with my thought, right? It's not affecting anybody with my thought, You have just justified something. All right. Number three, right after you do that, baby, you make a choice. All right. So first, starts with a thought. Then you have imaginations. Then you justify. And then you make a choice. All right. And the choice is, I think I'm going to step out and do what I thought and imagined and justified. That's how temptation works. Okay. Justify. All right. And the next one's choice. All right. So the last one, three letter word, begins with S, ends in N. Sin. Right. Because what you thought about, you imagine, you justified, you made it a choice, this temptation you've been thinking about, you're just going to go and do it. And how many of you have wished I've never did it? Oh, man. Yes. I wish I never did that. Okay. Listen, all of us wish we never did it. Are you all perfect? No, we all have a list. I wish I never did it. Okay. Now, oh, man, I have a whole list of I wish I never did it. I'm not telling it today. All right. So let's talk about how to fight it. How do you fight temptation? All right. Number one, first let me give you a scripture. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 is talking all about Jesus. This scripture is about Jesus, okay? So you got to watch it and look at it this way. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, right? Again, who's this is all about Jesus. It says, since he, who's the he? All right. Since he himself has gone through suffering and temptations. Underline that. Since Jesus himself has gone through suffering and temptations, he, Jesus, is able to help us when we are being tempted. So, who's this talking about? It's talking about Jesus. All right. Now, if I'm going to fight temptations, this scripture tells me it's not going to be easy, and I'm going to feel like I'm suffering. Okay. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Okay. Today you decide you're going to deny yourselves of something that's going to be fun, or something that would be pleasurable, or something that would be enjoyable. Today you decide you're going to deny yourself of something like that, okay? And then right then, you start suffering, right? You start suffering. Your flesh is suffering. Because you know what? Your flesh wants you to give it everything it screams for. Ooh, I want this, okay? That's what your flesh does. So I'm going to say it again. If you're going to fight temptation, okay, it's not going to be easy, and you're probably going to feel like you're suffering. Now, back to Hebrews 2:18. It says, who suffered? Jesus suffered for us, to help us. That's where you should be shouting, yes, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus suffered so he could help us out. Praise God. Now, let me say this. When you say no, everybody say no. No, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm not going to say this. No, I'm not going to think this. No, when you say no, a lot of times you're going to feel like you're suffering. So let me give you an example, a real easy one. It's January 1st. No, let's make it January 2nd, because January 1st, you're eating pork and sauerkraut and all the cookies, right? Okay, it's January 2nd, 2017, and you have decided that you are off sugar. Uh-huh. Because, you know, if you come to my house on January 1st, I make you take every cookie out of the house. Because Because on January 2nd, I have said, that's it. No more sugar. All right. I'm not doing that anymore. Right? Anybody ever do that? Okay. So you know what happens? Right at that moment, I start suffering. I feel like it. It's not like someone's stabbed. I feel like I'm suffering. All right. And you know, oh my, because never fails. The next day, hey, Pastor D, come on over. We're having a birthday party for so-and-so. And someone else to say, hey, we're having a party. Come on over. Come on over. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm suffering. Right? Because I made a decision with this temptation. Okay. So I feel like I'm suffering. Okay. Now let's get to some hard stuff. Even though January 2nd, I do it every year. Okay. Hard stuff. Hard stuff is the real life issues. Okay? The real life issues that try to tempt you. The real life issues that tempt you. Okay? So you all wrote down, what is your greatest temptation? Right? Kind of write down. Don't let anybody see what you wrote down. All right? Kind of plug that in. But let's just say, you know, this guy's looking at the girl and the girl's looking at the guy, and it turns out they're both married, not to each other. Okay, there's a real life temptation going on, right? Okay, Twinkies and Oreos, that's cool, that's a temptation, but that's not real life. Now write this down. You know what the real life issue is here? Write this down. The real temptation, ready yet, right? The real temptation is keeping your walk with God. Because my greatest temptation, which I'm not telling you about, my greatest temptations pull me back from my walk with God. Yep. Now, God never moves, guys. God's not moving. But this is what happens, all right? So listen, your greatest temptation is staying in a right relationship with God. That's my goal, and those temptations want to just knock you off. Like they hit you in the back of the knee and you collapse, okay? So that's the greatest temptation. The real life greatest temptation is staying with your walk with God. Would anybody agree? If not, test it out tomorrow. Okay. All right. So we can say that there is a suffering side. Let me say this. There's a suffering side when you decide to put yourself all into it. There's a suffering side to life when you decide to put yourself all into it. Such as, okay, simple, easy example. You decide you're going to be a doctor. You're hitting your sophomore year in college, and you go, man, I just feel like God wants me to be a doctor. Guess what? There is a whole lot of suffering when you go through, how many years is college? 8 years, something crazy like that. Hours, long hours, no sleep, lots of money coming out of your pocket. Would you say there's a little suffering when you decide to be a doctor? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Okay, we just watched the Olympics. Every night I'd go downstairs and watch an hour and a half. I love it. I have to wait 4 years now. Okay, so I was listening to these interviews, especially of these track guys, the marathon guys, okay? And I forgot what guy, because he was from Africa, and he has a name I couldn't even pronounce. Probably couldn't pronounce my name, but I can pronounce his name. And he was sharing the suffering that went through this this athlete, okay? One, hours, early hours, long hours, nonstop, you know, training. And then he shared, he's got a bunch of kids. And he's away from them months at a time. Would you say he suffers? Yeah, okay. So there is a side to suffering if you put yourself into it. Now, let's talk about temptation, okay? When you want to overcome temptation, when you decide, that's it, I am not going to do this anymore, I am deciding I'm going to overcome this greatest temptation of my life, that's it. Okay, you know what happens all the time? I start looking at, well, they all do it. Sounds like the kids. Well, everybody else is doing it, right? All right, everybody gets to do this, okay? But listen, you're going to come to the place where you say, no, I don't want to do that. And there's a little suffering that goes through it, right? So some of you are going, oh, I don't believe in suffering. Yeah, you do. When you decide, I'm going to say no to that temptation, there's a little suffering that goes to it, all right? So today, the good news, everybody say good news. The good news is Jesus came, Hebrews 12:18, Jesus came to help us through those temptations. Jesus came to help us overcome. So what I want to do is I want to give you, four things you need to do to overcome. Write that down. Four things you need to do to overcome temptation. I could have wrote down 25, but I'm going to nail it with four. Hopefully I'll get to four. Here we go. Number one. It's found in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And it's so simple. It's so simple, but here we go. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he would flee. James chapter 4, 7. Therefore, submit yourself to God. So you know what the first thing you have to do? Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. First thing you have to do. W.E. Vine says this about the word submit. It's primarily a military term. It means to rank under, to be subject to. Okay, Pastor D, that's so cool. You looked up W.E. Vine's. What does it mean? All right, what does it mean? Let me describe it. To submit is, God, I believe your word. You ought to write that down. God, I believe your word knows better than what I know. God, I believe your word knows better than anything I know. God, I submit to you. I submit to your word. God, I'm going to follow your word. That's what submit is, all right? God, I believe your word knows a whole lot more than I do. Okay, now this is really kind of crazy. Some of us have grown up in this culture for so long that we allow the culture to dictate to us. What do you mean, Pastor D, the culture? Oh, come on, baby, look at the stuff that's going on. We allow the culture to say it's okay to do that. We allow, if you like the word the world, but I like to say the culture. We allow the culture to say it's okay, you can do that. Everybody's doing that. There's a lot of that going on, right? I mean, listen, we're fighting over bathrooms. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Are you kidding me? That would have never happened. Okay, the culture. The culture's whacked, right? All right, now, it's because everybody in the world, the culture, has not submitted to God. It's real simple. All right, so you're like, oh, I can't believe how crazy it is. Well, yeah, it's because they've not submitted themselves to what God says to the Lord, all right? So it gets crazy, all righty? So the first thing you all have to do is submit to God, all right? Submit to God. Now listen, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to submit to God. You need to submit to his word, all right? That you submit to his word. So I hate to tell you, it doesn't happen once. Oh, I did that once. No, you submit to the word of God daily. Like some days, daily, 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 right? Okay, you submit daily. All right, now, let me say this. I might, in case you didn't know this, you can be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be submitted to God. Pastor D! Say it again. You can be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be submitted to God. Sure is quiet in this place. Okay, let me say. Listen, just because you could be the person, I accepted the Lord, I accepted Jesus. I prayed that prayer, I accepted Jesus. I accepted Jesus. But maybe you've not made Jesus Lord. You've not made him Lord of your life. And you know what that simply means? Jesus, you call the shots. So you can have accepted Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, but maybe you've not made him Lord. Right? You've not, therefore, you've not submitted to God. All right. Oh, ouch, 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 ouch. Okay. All right. So listen, if he calls the shots in your life, if God, Jesus, the word, if he calls the shots in your life, then you're going to base your whole life on the word. You're going to pick up the word and this is what you look at and this is what makes the decisions in your life. Okay? That's what it says. Jesus is Lord of my life. Amen? Okay. So, listen. We're here to change the culture. Yeah. What's Creflo Dollar's church called? World Changers? Okay, you're supposed to be culture changers, and the culture's not supposed to change you and tell you what to do. You're the salt and the life, and Jesus needs you to be salt and light because you're supposed to be culture changers, right? And it starts by submitting to what God's word says. This is God says it, that's it. All right. All right, so everybody say, I'm a culture changer. And you know why you're a culture changer? Jesus Christ lives in your life. All right. So that makes you a culture changer. All right. Amen. All right. So the first thing you need to do is submit to God. Second thing, it says, therefore, submit to God and resist. Oh, devil. Wrong word. Back up. Resist the devil. Okay. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Okay. Now, it's crazy out there again. The culture doesn't even believe there's a devil. Yeah. I talk to people. They don't believe there's a devil. They don't believe they have an enemy. Oh, baby, you're really in trouble, okay? Listen, though. I got news. There is a devil, and you have to resist him. There is a devil. He's an enemy, and you have to resist him, okay? The word devil is, I'm going to spell it, D-I-A-B-A-L-O-S, diabolos. That's what the word devil means. And it was it's so crazy. The word devil, diabolos, actually is like his job description. It's like how he operates. All right? Now, so those guys on SmackDown Wrestling, the guy, big guy comes out and his name is Crusher. It's kind of a description of how the guy is, right? Well, you're to the devil, this is his job description. Ready? To repeatedly throw and strike again, 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 until the object being struck finally penetrates. That's the devil. That's how he works. Okay? He repeatedly comes at your mind with a thought, not once. Repeatedly until it penetrates, until you make a choice, all right, and then you act on it. Okay? The devil, diabolos, you know. Okay, all right. So when God says resist the devil, one, there is an enemy, and two, you have to resist him, okay? Resist means to stand against, to stand in opposition. To stand against, to stand in opposition. Rick Rayner, how many of you guys have his Sparkling Gems? Awesome! Big, thick books, $30, best $30 you'll ever spend. It's actually a devotional, but it's like these everyday big Bible studies, okay? So I forgot, I think it's in December 7th, I was looking this up, and he says this about when you resist. Ready? Resist. One who is fiercely opposed to something, therefore determines that he will do everything in his power to resist, to stand against, to defy operations. All right. Resist the devil is not a passive thing where you close your eyes and say, oh, I hope he withdraws. I hope the devil withdraws his attack. Okay? To resist is a fight, all right? So these people that say, I don't believe in the devil, I'm like, you're beat. You're already beat, all right? All right, jot this down. The best way to resist temptation is to eliminate it. The best way to resist temptation is to eliminate it. The best way to resist the temptation is to eliminate. So when someone says to me, so that really means stop putting yourself in front of something that's tempting you. Stop putting yourself right in front of it. So when someone says to me, Pastor D, I always get tempted when I'm on the internet and I look at porn. So I'm going to say this, stop putting yourself in front of it. Eliminate it. Right? Okay, back in the day, when I have four little kids, 2 years apart, take them grocery shopping, my worst nightmare, once a week, and you know what? And they want a candy. You know what? I eliminated that problem. We never went to that checkout. They have one that's just for kids that doesn't have any candy. I eliminated it. We're not going to have this problem. All right? Okay. Give me a scripture. Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Here we go. While you're getting Proverbs 4, 14, and 15. Guys, there are certain things you need to do with your eyeballs. The Bible says you need to guard what you look at, right? You need to guard what you look at. So if you're going to guard what you're going to look at, you might have to eliminate stuff. All right, here we go. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Do not do as the wicked do. Don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. That's a good scripture. Don't. I like that. It's the mother of me. Don't do that. Okay? Don't. So it would be better to resist the temptation and say, I don't want to do any of that, so I'm going to go this way instead of that way. All right? It would be better to resist the temptation then. Okay? So how about the example? Here we go. Somebody comes up to me in the hallway and goes, Pastor D, my greatest temptation, I always put my seatbelt on and keep my straight face, so I never go, oh my God! I go, oh, okay. So my greatest temptation, someone comes up and says, is alcohol. And then they say, and I have been free for 5 years. You know what? I give them a hug. I high five them. I always congratulate them, because if you've ever had an addiction and you've walked through and you're clean, that's amazing. Okay. That's really good. But how about the person comes up and says, Pastor D, my greatest temptation is alcohol, and I've been clean 5 years, and I just got a job working in a place that only sells alcohol. You laugh. But I've had people say that. I just got a job bartending. I'm going, whoa. Okay, so in my nice, I would say my advice to you, because I really want to go, wow. Okay, my advice to you is you shouldn't do that. Okay, you know why? I don't care how strong you think you are. If you are in front of the temptation all the time, every time, there's a really great chance you're going to go down the tube, right? All right, so you need to eliminate it. All righty. Okay, so number one is submit. Number two is resist. Number three, how can you fight temptation? Redirect your thought life. Redirect your thought life. Okay, so whatever you're always thinking on, whatever you're constantly thinking on, whatever you're constantly thinking on, it's going to take you this way, okay? Whatever you're constantly thinking on, it's going to take you that way. It's real simple, okay? Now, if my life's going in this direction and I have all these wrong thoughts, I have to redirect the thoughts up here so I can go this way. If you are constantly in this temptation, all right, you're going to have to redirect your thoughts so you can get out of it and go this way. Praise God. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3:1. It's a really good scripture. I love this scripture. I say that about every scripture. This is my favorite scripture. It's the word. It's just good for you. Colossians 3:1. Here we go. If then you were raised with Christ, anybody been raised with Christ? That's for the rest of you. We're going to pray for you at the end. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ. All right. So set your mind means literally, listen, set your minds means to think on something different. You're going to set your mind thinking on something different, okay? To make it go in a different direction. So if you keep going in this direction, you have this greatest temptation. You keep falling in it. This says to set your mind, so you can go in a different direction. You're going to have to grab hold of your thoughts and swap them out so you can go in a different direction. It's pretty basic, all right? So let me say this. If you sit, guilty, okay, I'm exhausted. I had a long day. Oh my gosh, that boss was a pain in the you know what, and the traffic was terrible. I just want to come home and sit in front of the TV. That is real easy. It's real lazy too, okay? Because this is what feels good. My flesh wants to do that. That's real easy to do this. But you know what's harder? You know what's harder? Is to take, to set your mind to good thoughts. Okay, so set your mind to good thoughts is going to be a lot harder. Amen? You know one of my greatest temptations, I said I was going to tell you, that stinking phone, okay? I get up in the morning, I got cut my coffee, sit it down, I got my colored pencils, markers, highlighters, my Bibles, my study stuff, having a great old time, and then I hear, dink, I was like, ding. Next thing I know, I'm on Facebook, okay? Anybody do that? I've decided, I got up early, I was up at 5:30, I was going to have spend time with the Lord, and dink, all right, so... It's hard to change direction, all right? So I have a two-story house. So you know what I do with that cell phone? I just leave it upstairs. I come downstairs now, and if you call, you have to call the landline. Yep, I still have one of those, okay? Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, so listen, you need to set your mind on good things, and it's going to take a fight to do it. You have to redirect your thoughts. You have to grab hold of your mind and put new thoughts in there. Otherwise, you're just going to keep in that temptation. So write this down. Okay, I can do this. I can do this. Here we go. Temptation grows best in the dark and mushrooms. Temptation grows best in the dark. Temptation grows best in the dark. What do you mean? If you don't read your Bible, if you never go to church, if you never hang out with Christians or go to a grow group, temptation will grow best because you're in the dark, right? Temptation grows best in the dark. So, John chapter 1, super scripture. John chapter 1, 4 and 5. One of my favorites. Here we go. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. All right. In him was life. It's talking about Jesus, okay? And the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Another translation says, and darkness could not be extinguished. Could not extinguish the light. Sorry about that. Goofed that up. All right. So listen, darkness cannot overtake light. It's happened to all of you. It's Saturday. School's summertime. It's Saturday summertime. It's 6 a.m. in the morning. All right. And you've got those dark out shades, but all of a sudden, somehow that light comes in, right? And you're like, oh, are you kidding me? Light's coming in. Light comes in and the darkness goes. And you're like, oh my gosh. All right? All right. Light overcame darkness. Darkness is when you're away from God, you're away from his word, you're away from everything's good. So guess what? It's going to grow. But you want to get rid of that, you got to get in the light. So get in the word. Daily. Some days, a couple of times a day, because it's been a doozy of a day, right? All of you people that drive 45 minutes, I almost think that's fantastic. You know why? Because I only live 7 to 9 minutes, depending on how I drive, and I always have something going on. I either have a worship CD on, I listen to the Bible on CD, because I don't know how to program this thing and all that stuff, okay? But it's amazing, all right? So temptation grows in darkness, so it's real simple. Get light in there, all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor D, thank you. All right, last one. How do you fight temptation? Real quick. Offer your body to God. How do you fight temptation? Offer your body to God. Ready? Y'all probably all could quote this. Romans 12. Romans 12:1. Offer your body to God. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, he's talking to Christians, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Great scripture. What the heck is he talking about? How do you offer yourself to God? How do you offer your body to God? What? Okay. First off, it's not once. Pastor D, I offer my body to God 15 years ago. Well, that's why you're in trouble, right? It's not once, alrighty? So, you have to offer your body to God on a daily basis, daily. And like I said, if you're having one of those days, it might be 15 times you're going, okay? Offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. Okay, so how do I offer my body to God? This is what it looks like. God, I offer my body to you today. God, I offer my eyes to you, and I will only look at what pleases you. I offer my body to you. Okay? God, I offer my body to you today, and I offer my mouth to you. I will only say what is pleasing to you. That's how you offer your body to God. Okay? That's part of how you resist temptation. Okay. So, every time you do that, guys, you fight temptation. You're fighting temptation. And fighting is saying, no, no, I'm not going to look at that. No, I'm not going to say that. No, I am definitely not doing that. That's fighting temptation. That's how you fight temptation. So submit. What's the second one? Resist. Third one? Redirect. Last one. Off your body. Okay, I have one more thing to say. Okay, y'all know this. It says, the greater one lives within me. Anybody hear that scripture? The greater one lives within me. Okay, so Jesus Christ, the greater one lives within me. Now, when you offer your body to God and you say, no, I am not going to get sucked into that temptation. All right, I'm not going to do this. This is what happens. Then you go, God, the greater one lives within me, and he's here to help me. So one, you got to know your temptation, all right? All right, so the thought that's just going to take you down the wrong place, when that happens and you say no, then you know what's happening? God is looking to have place in your life. So I am kind of notorious for doing things in my own strength. Some days it's good, some days not so good, okay? So what I learned there is when I'm in this temptation, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And God's going, ask me to help you. Much easier, D. It really is. There is still a little suffering, but it's easy. So listen, so you've got a temptation. You've got temptations up to the eyeballs. And God's saying, give me place and ask me. God, will you come and help me through that? And he is faithful. He will never leave you, forsake you. He is faithful. He will come alongside because Jesus suffered and was tempted so he could help you overcome. Amen. Praise God. All right, leaving on a happy note. Let me pray for you. All right. Close your eyes for a second. I can't even look at you. Here we go. No, I can't. Okay. Father, we thank you for the word we've heard today. We thank you. We've heard about temptation. We thank you that the greater one lives within us. And we thank you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you that we give you place today in our lives. We thank you that we can overcome temptations. We can fight it instead of ignoring it, instead of letting it beat us. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hey, everybody's eyes still closed. Real serious. Don't go moving around. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and you have never made 100% commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't say 90%. I said 100%. If you've not submitted and surrendered your life today, I want to tell you, today's the day of salvation. Today, guys, don't harden your heart. He is standing there waiting for you to say yes. So if you're here today and you would say, yes, I would like to receive Jesus into my life. I'd like to submit my life to Jesus. Raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here? You just raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor D. I have never given my life to Jesus, and I want to receive Jesus. I want to have him in my life. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if I see that hand, you can put it down for a second. How about this? You're here, and you prayed that once. You prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be Lord of my life. But, you know, life just took you through some temptations, and you're all the way downstream. And you just kind of walked away. We call it backslidden. But really, can I tell you, today's the day to come home. All you have to do is say, Father God, I want to come back home. I want to start walking with you and make Jesus Lord again. Real simple. If that's you and you say, I have walked away. Today, I want to come back home. I would like to pray for you. So is there anybody here? I saw that one hand. Is there anybody here that would like to just say, Lord Jesus, today, I want to start walking again with you. Anybody? Okay, let's pray here. Everybody say this out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. I believe he took all my sins, and I believe you raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, with my heart, with my mouth, I surrender my life to you. I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm your child now. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer.